today on Straight Talk Africa, a glimmer of hope for the people of South Sudan. President Salva Kiir says he is reluctantly accepting the August 17th IGAD Plus Peace and Power Sharing Agreement. But observers wonder whether the two parties have the necessary political will to implement the deal. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, August 26th. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we'll talk about the reaction to the signing of the historic IGAD Plus Peace Agreement by the government of South Sudan.
A very busy day. Well, coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on our topic through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, today there is hope for the people of South Sudan who have lived with violence and conflict for the past 20 months. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more on the story.
South Sudanese President Salva Kiir declined to sign the peace deal proposed by the regional leaders 9 days ago in Addis Ababa, saying he needed up to 15 days to consult with government officials back home in Juba.
Peace that will not be sustained cannot be signed. You sustain something that you will enjoy. If it is signed today, and then tomorrow we go back to war, then what have we achieved?
Mr. Kiir returned from the peace talks in Ethiopia for those consultations in Juba, but while those discussions were ongoing, the United States proposed a United Nations arms embargo and targeted sanctions against South Sudan's senior leadership unless the pact was signed by September 1st. U.S. President Barack Obama discussed South Sudan in his address to the African Union last month.
And leaders in Sudan must know their nation will never truly thrive so long as they wage war against their own people. In South Sudan, the joy of independence has descended into the despair of violence. And neither Mr. Kiir nor Mr. Machar have shown so far any interest in sparing their people from this suffering or reaching a political solution.
At that time, Mr. Obama also said the international community must raise the cost of stubbornness if the parties don't agree by August 17th. They did not then, but now have signed a peace deal in Juba. The deal calls for a power-sharing government within 90 days for the warring forces, with the exception of government guards, to withdraw from Juba, and for the parties to be able to jointly unify and share command of the National Defense Forces of South Sudan within 18 months, and for the fighting to stop immediately. Paul Sisco, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Now for reaction to today's historical event in Juba, we are joined by Dr. Riek Machar, the chairman of SPRA in opposition and former South Sudanese vice president. He joins us via telephone link from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. Good evening, Dr. Riek Machar.
Good evening. Good evening, Shaka Sala.
How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine.
What is your reaction to today's historical event that took place in Juba?
Well, we welcome the signature of the peace agreement by President Salva Kiir. Although it is 9 days late, he should have signed on the 17th, the day we signed the peace agreement. We could have saved lives now, the lives that have been lost in the 9 days fighting all over South Sudan, you know.
Now, you talk about, of course, how the signing of the peace deal is 9 days late. What is it that has changed since then from what you have been briefed that made it necessary for the president to append his signature today?
Well, I don't know. I thought he should have signed by the 17th of August, the day we signed in Addis Ababa. He knows very well that the peace agreement was imposed on the parties although we have been negotiating for the last 20 months, some of the features of the peace agreement are familiar to the two parties and other stakeholders. But some were imposed by the IGAD Plus mediators, which are the powers in the region and in the continent and among the international community. So there was no justification for him to refuse to sign on the 17th of August.
You know, as well as I do, Dr. Riek Machar, that there have been so many peace agreements signed on the continent, and they were never implemented. If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your southern Sudanese heart and soul, do you sincerely feel that the two of you have the necessary political will to deliver on the deal?
Well, let me speak on my behalf and on behalf of the SPLM-SPLA, which is in opposition. We have the political will to implement a deal we signed to. As you know, we have a lot of reservations on the deal, but when we weigh these reservations against a peace agreement, against peace, against stability, we went for peace and stability and signed the deal.
Is this really about restoring peace and stability in South Sudan, or is it, as some critics have suggested, a deal really that offers you the opportunity to share government positions?
We insisted from the very start of the peace talks that we want to discuss the substantial issues rather than the power-sharing agreement. And in this agreement, we have got, even if it doesn't meet our minimum, but we will have a new system of governance, federalism. There shall be reforms in the country, in the governance, in the security, in the economy, in the judicial sector, and also impunity shall be stamped out by this agreement, because the transitional justice and accountability chapter is fully addressed. And in it, we also call for the AU to make public the report of the AU Commission of Inquiry on South Sudan, which details the violations that had happened in South Sudan. The power sharing is the last thing we thought of, you know. And when the regional leaders imposed the power sharing ratios, we did not object to them. We explained our position. When they took their decisions, we said, is not the major issue. Our major issues are in the system of governance, in the reforms, and in the humanitarian access, and in the transitional justice and accountability.
You have agreed that Juba should be a demilitarized zone. What exactly does that mean? And in fact, when do you expect to return back to your country?
Well, Juba, you know, the crisis started in Juba. And we agreed that Juba be demilitarized. 25, if there are any military forces, they shall be located 25 kilometers radius outside Juba. Juba shall be secured by a joint integrated police, and also with the assistance of the international community, that the UN mission forces in South Sudan, they're also in Juba. We expect this to be done before the formation of the transitional government of national unity.
And when do you expect to be back in Juba, Dr. Riak?
When the arrangements are done, you know, we have a pre-interim period of 90 days. The transitional period starts after 90 days, or actually on 90 days, elapse of 90 days the signature of the agreement.
Can you assure us that with effect from today, the guns are going to be silent on both sides?
This is what I'm hoping, but I'm aware that the government is on full offensive. The last 9 days were difficult days. There was fierce fighting. The government wants to control more areas, take more areas from us. The government is now having three barges. These are gunships or gunboats on the Nile. We don't know what is going to happen in the next 2 days. So we are hoping the first thing to be done would be to ensure that cessation of hostilities agreement is respected and the ceasefire is respected within the next 72 hours.
Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Riak Machar, for joining us, of course, via telephone link up from Addis Ababa. And good luck, of course, to the historic day, and of course, good luck also to the people of South Sudan.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome, sir. Now, for a reporter's perspective on today's developments, I am joined by my colleague, John Tanza Mabusu, managing editor and host of South Sudan in Focus, a Voice of America 30-minute daily English language broadcast in radio and internet, which airs Monday through Friday. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Shaka.
How are you?
I'm very fine and happy.
What about, in fact, I was going to ask your immediate reaction, because when President Salva Kiir appended his signature, I didn't frankly see a smile on your face when we were in the newsroom.
Well, I was smiling internally because I hate to report on bad news every day. I have been reporting about people being killed, about people starving, about people, fleeing their homes to areas that does not belong to them. And all during these 20 months, I've been reporting bad news. So I was smiling internally today. It's the first time I'm reporting good news to the people of South Sudan.
Now, talking about good news, of course, you just listened to Dr. Riak Machar, and he's talking about how the government, in fact, on the contrary, is on the offensive, trying to dislodge them from some of their positions. Do you sincerely hope that this time around we are going to have these guns silent?
Well, until the 72 hours kicks in, both parties are going to, scramble for a few areas so that they can control. This is out of experience, because even the war with Khartoum, when the Comprehensive Peace Agreement was concluded in Naivasha, a document was signed, a ceasefire was declared, the SPLA captured Torit. And this is just a vicious cycle of how warring parties behave. Today, when President Kiir was addressing delegates at the Freedom Hall in Juba, he talked about the SPLA in opposition attempting to attack government positions in Bentiu. And we are hearing from Dr. Riak Machar, who is saying that the government forces are attacking their position. So it's the continuation of this blame game.
What about some doubting Thomases who will say, wait a minute, we have had 7 previous peace deals, in fact, signed between those two gentlemen, and they have not made a difference. That what makes you think that this time around it is going to make a world of a difference?
History is our witness, and it is true that these two parties have signed several deals that they violate immediately after signing it. But this one seemed to be very unique because the international community is united to ensure that the two parties implement this agreement. And so even the signing today in Juba is out of pressure from the international community. The UN is already talking about sanction, and other friends, if you like, traditional friends of South Sudan, have started isolating the government. And so the government is under pressure to sign the peace deal. The same is with the rebels. The rebels are under pressure because their camps is divided. Their camp is divided. Gadet broke away with some generals, and they are denouncing that Riek Machar is not their leader. So Riek also finds himself in a position where he is in a house that is divided. And so the only solution is to sign a peace deal.
Now talk to us about this issue of African solutions to African problems. You've had a lot of leaders sing that song. And yet, it seems to me, frankly, that if it wasn't IGAD Plus, we probably wouldn't be here today, John.
That's right. African solution to African problems is a very nice slogan, but the implementing it is a problem, because in Africa, power is sweet. In fact, there's a common saying in Juba that when you step into the 4x4, which is popularly known in the city as V8, you will fight to remain in that V8 until you die. So power is sweet. And in fact, if African solutions, African problems have to look for African solutions, then we need to see how power can be shared among Africans.
Well, thank you very much, John, for your insight.
You're welcome, Chaka Sali.
It's a pleasure, of course, always having you on the show. And we'll pause for a short break and would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter. And we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag at VOA South Sudan Peace. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Here are a few of the key points of the 72-page South Sudan peace agreement deal that the South Sudanese government signed today to avoid international sanctions. Fighting must end immediately with a permanent ceasefire beginning 72 hours after signing. Military forces have 30 days to gather for separation, assembly, and confinement to barracks with their weapons secured in storage. All foreign forces in the war, including Ugandan troops backing Salva Kiir, must leave within 45 days. No troops are allowed closer than 25 kilometers to Juba. Only presidential guards, police, and guard forces protecting infrastructure can remain in the city. The deal gives opposition the post of first vice president alongside the current vice president. Opposition leader Riek Machar is likely to return to the post he was sacked from in July 2013. Signatories must take responsibility for the war, apologizing unconditionally for the tens of thousands killed in a conflict marked by widespread atrocities on both sides.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu Ewart, and welcome back. And today we are discussing the signing of the historic IGAD Plus peace agreement by the government of South Sudan. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Ambassador Bakuwar, deputy head of mission of the Embassy of the Republic of South Sudan to the United States, and Ruth Mouok-Tang, SPLM, SPLA in opposition representative to the United States, and a former member of the Sudan, South Sudan Parliament. Well, gentlemen, I have to say, first of all, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to be able to host you for the second time on Straight Talk Africa together, and of course, with the good news of today from Juba.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shaka. Thank you very much. Thank you for hosting us again.
You're most welcome, sir. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. Yes, country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Ambassador Baka. How come I don't see a smile on your face?
No, actually, I'm very, very happy. And I want to thank you again for hosting us in this show.
Thank you.
I also want to take this opportunity to congratulate our President, His Excellency President Salva Kiir Mayardit, for taking a very courageous decision today to sign the peace agreement. Our people really has been yearning for peace. I only hope that the hurdles that are that will be in the implementation will be managed by both parties. And I also urge the IGAD Plus mediating group, including our partners in the international community, to remain engaged, because really, like as they say, the details, the devil is in the details. The implementation will not be easy. So the new transitional government will really need a lot of support. And lastly, I really hope that our partners in peace, the SPLM in opposition, would take the responsibility of bringing peace and ensuring that we don't go back to war seriously. Because, and that is why our president asked for 15 days to come and consult the people of South Sudan. Mm-hmm. Because we want to make sure that when he put his signature, we will not go back to war again. Nobody wants to sign an agreement only for that agreement to collapse after 3 months and we go back to war again. So this is a huge responsibility, especially on the shoulder of the SPLM in opposition.
How do you respond to that, Ruth Mouok-Tang? And of course, pretty soon, if the deal works, you might go back to the National Assembly and become Honorable Member of Parliament, correct?
Thank you very much, Shaka, for having us once again for the second time. Of course, first of all, one would like to say a word of congratulations to the people of South Sudan. And these people have been waiting for a long time. This day is overdue, actually, and people are waiting to enjoy the dividend of peace. And of course, all of us are very happy. Yes, if the peace is signed today, all of us will be willing to go back home. You know, we have been in exile for almost 2 to 3 years now, and it's not a good life. We have been separated with our families, and a lot of things are not good for us. Sitting here today, I'm very joyful to hear that Salva Kiir finally signed the peace agreement, and this is good news for the people of South Sudan.
Do you feel like there is better chemistry, for example, between you and Mr. Ambassador than in the last time you two appeared on this show?
We have already started when we were coming. So I told him, now you can invite me for a coffee, no problem. We can get together and discuss issue on how we have to go forward.
Yes.
There is no problem at all. And actually, this one is not a personal issue, but it's an issue that is affecting the life of our people. So if the peace is coming home, the issue is not about us. It's about the people who are dying day and night. Therefore, I really thanks Comrade Dr. Riek Machar, the chairman and commander-in-chief of the SPLM, SPLA, for taking a very courageous step without waiting and sign the peace on time. This is a very good leadership demonstration. And as you know, of course, the SPLM, SPLA, under the leadership of Dr. Riek Machar, has always been committed for the peaceful resolution of the conflict. That's why they have signed the FAD since the beginning of the 17. So they did not wait for a long time. Of course, the peace agreement, as we have heard from Dr. Riek, There were a lot of things, because it's not about power sharing. It's not about Dr. Riek going to become a vice president or all of us go back to become part of the government. It's about the life of the people who are dying day and night. That's why Dr. Riek took that very courageous step to sign the peace without waiting, without telling the world that, you know, I have to go and console. You know, that because the peace agreement was actually enforced, as he said. It was actually enforced. Dr. Riek would have said that, let me go back to Pagak, because when they came from Pagak, they did not know that the IGAD will tell them that this is leave it or take it. But he did not want to go back because he feel the life of the people. You know, our people in the UNMISS camp are dying. Last week you have heard that in Equatoria, about 10 people die with starvation. And this is how Dr. Riek feel. He want to bring peace back home to the country.
I see. Now, Ambassador Bagwell, let me ask you this question now.
Please.
The entire last week, your spokespersons were talking about how the deal of August 17th, for example, was, in their words, not mine, a sellout. It was an agreement that in no way reflected the interest of the people of South Sudan.
It is true.
What happened this time around?
It is true. Actually, let me be honest with you. It is true, and that general feeling is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I feel that President Salva should be really congratulated and encouraged for the courageous decision that he did. First of all, I don't know who Dr. Riek was going to consult in Pagak, considering that Pagak is rumored to be under the control of people who have broke away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But President Salva has a responsibility to consult his people. He cannot just sign something that he knows the people, the majority of the people of South Sudan, have reservations on it.
But this is not something that just happened, really. He must have been aware of it. The peace was not an incident or an event. It was a process, the peace deal. In fact, you did representatives of the people in Addis Ababa who reflected, for example, civil society, faith-based groups, women's organizations appended their signatures last week.
That was even a mistake. I mean, in an arrangement where people are going to sign a peace agreement, such a huge peace agreement like the one we signed, it should have been President Salva to sign and then Dr. Riek Machar to sign before those witnesses append their signatures. I never understand a situation where the witnesses will be appending their signatures first before the principals. This was another anomaly from the IGAD Plus. And that is why we have been saying that the whole process has been really problematic.
But these people must have been signing on behalf of Southern Sudan people.
No, because they came back to Juba and they said they were tricked.
They
were tricked by the IGAD Plus secretariat. They shouldn't have signed before President Salva and Dr. Riek signed first.
I guess you may have a point, because even Dr. Riek Machar himself said that this peace, in fact, has been signed under a lot of pressure.
Exactly.
From
exactly.
The international community.
Just to use his word, he said this peace was imposed.
It was imposed,
he said,
fine.
It was imposed.
But you are not telling me that it is the international community which has more of a soft spot for your own people than you yourselves.
No, not necessarily. You know, it is an insult, not only to our leaders, but for the people of South Sudan to suggest that we don't care about our people. You see, we fought for over 5 decades. We lost millions of people in order to reach where we are today. And it is not fair for the people of South Sudan or their leadership to be told that some individuals in the international community care more than their people.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a historic South Sudan peace deal moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the outstanding feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now, here is our letter of the week from a Straight Talk Africa Facebook fan in Tanzania. Hussein Mayomba in Dodoma, Tanzania, writes, the international community should take unanimous action to force the rival parties to pursue a diplomatic approach to achieve a permanent peace solution. The option of deploying a peacekeeping force with a mandate to be fully engaged when the life of South Sudanese civilians are threatened should be considered. The international community should also look at ways to lift our South Sudanese brothers and sisters from poverty and illiteracy by providing educational and economic empowerment programs. Perpetrators of this conflict should be reminded that they might find themselves in the hands of the ICC.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The South Sudan peace agreement that President Salva Kiir initially refused to sign was put forward by IGAD and an eighth nation regional bloc, as well as the United Nations, the African Union, China, and the Troika of Britain, Norway, and the United States. Many analysts say that the signing of the deal today was in response to overwhelming international and regional pressure put on President Kiir. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what more can the international community do to ensure the implementation of the peace deal to restore peace and stability in South Sudan? Well, thanks for using all our social media platform to communicate to us. Let's begin with a comment from Yahya Ahmed Gumel from Jigawa in Nigeria, who writes, the last-minute acceptance of the peace deal by the government of South Sudan is a clear testimony that the government is not sincere about the peace deal. It might have shifted grounds on account of regional and international pressures. Hence, the international community has moral responsibility to ensure that the government respects the peace accord. We Africans ought to understand that the struggle for power and authority should not divide us. We share common origin and ancestry. Hence, political ambitions should not blind us, making us cause carnage to our innocent brothers and sisters in the name of protecting political interests. Well, another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA South Sudan Peace. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Ebenezer Emmanuel from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, who tweets, they, the international community, should go on the ground to conduct classes on civic education, patriotism, and the need of ignoring tribalism and selfishness. Well, we have another tweet this time, again, from Dar es Salaam, from Francis Moses, who says, the president cannot bring peace through papers. It's about the system's awareness of all South Sudanese. Well, Shaka, very strong statements in here. Your take.
Indeed. Ruth, would you like to react to that, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Shaka, one again. Let me clarify some of the things. You know, I'm not hoping today to talk about, to argue with my colleague here. We should talk the language of peace, because all of us are
better. We should be reconciling and, in fact, inviting each other to eat nyama choma.
Yes, thank you very much. So the government have not been clear from the day one. You know, everybody is aware. People were in Addis Ababa, and the government delegation were in Addis Ababa negotiating. They were given a clear directive by the IGAD mediators that if both two parties fail to agree on anything,
we will enforce our position. If you agree, we will take what you agree, and it will be a peace agreement. So everybody was aware. You know, what was happening with that, the government was not in one page. And I believe Buckwall here in Washington, D.C. is doing different thing. And you know, the delegate in Addis Ababa were saying that they doing separate thing, and the government in Juba, through the spokesperson and the Minister of Cabinet Affairs, was saying that they recalled back the delegate from Addis Ababa. When you talk to delegate in Addis Ababa, they say, we are not called back. And you know, it was very confusing. But the government was making tactics. You know, has the, you may have heard the Nairobi Kampala meeting, actually, when Museveni attempted to amend the text of the IGAD's proposed compromise agreement. And that would have been a deal breaker if it has succeeded. So the government is actually not sure of what they should do, and they are actually trying to plan. This is an act of, you know, they are showing that they are not willing for peace. But they want more time. Actually, the time that was asked by President Salva Kiir is for him to go and see where he can reject this peace talk completely.
I see.
That's not true.
Well,
that's not true.
We have to proceed a little bit. Mariama, please share with us some more of our audience feedback or reaction.
Well, we'll move on to a posting from Rutaiwa Aristide from Moshi in Tanzania, who writes, independence is on paper, not on the ground. Peace agreements are not enough if the conditions are not met and fulfilled. The international community should focus on the suffering people of South Sudan by pressuring the fighting parties to adhere to the conditions of the deal. Well, another comment comes from Kuang Tut from Juba, who writes, the international community should call upon the two leaders and have a serious decision concerning the peace deal, and also giving a warning to IGAD, which is not doing its functions, and even some presidents allow bribery in order to disrupt the peace and stability. Well, Shaka, very interesting comment. Once again, your take.
Interesting indeed. How about that, Ambassador Buck? Well,
yes, I think the first point I really want to emphasize is that President Salva is committed to peace. But what he wanted is a lasting and an enduring peace. Not, you know, it's not just a symbolic gesture of signing. He could have signed this document.
But did he get that today?
He stayed with me. Yeah, he could have signed this document without coming back to Juba to consult his people.
But first, did he get that today?
He did not. And the reason why he did not is because We know that there will be challenges, you see? But at the same time, we want to tell the international community and our own people that we are committed to peace. And therefore, we must sign this document, whether it is imposed or not. We know it is an imposed document. We know we have been asked to negotiate with the people of the SPLM in opposition under duress, under threats of sanctions and embargoes. You know,
but on
both sides. Any negotiations done under those circumstances, the end result, whatever document that is produced and imposed on the warring parties to sign, they will sign. And this is what happened.
Now
the problem, and this is what our president said today, we have a 20-page document listing the reservations and the challenges that we see coming. And our president did not hesitate to tell his guests today, the IGAD Plus mediators and the African leaders and the envoys that came to attend the signing ceremony, that it will be rough. It is not going to be easy. Not only because it was an imposed agreement, we were not allowed to reach our own agreement and consent on everything that is in that document. Some of the things which are in the document, and this was said by Dr. Riak himself when you just interviewed him a few moments ago. He said this was an imposed agreement.
But imposed on both sides.
Yes. Yeah.
For the common good of the people.
But the question,
of Shaka, South Sudan,
the question is, will it bring peace? Will it bring a lasting and enduring peace? That is the question we should be asking ourselves. It is not just about signing it.
You know,
we have signed it now.
You know, there was once a very popular president in this country called Ronald Reagan, Republic. He once talked about peace and what have you, and he said, you know what? Trust but verify. Do you trust each other?
We will work on it. At this very moment, I think
we had nearly 2 years of conflict, of armed conflict, and a lot of people have died needlessly. So
a lot of people are internally displaced.
Yes, a lot of people are internally
going
displaced.
Going hungry.
Yes, exactly. We in the government blame Riek Machar for it.
And he blames you for it too?
He blames us for it, yes. It shows you that we will need to build trust. It is not something that is going to happen overnight, and that is why we are appealing to the international community, including those who impose the peace, to stay with it. Because the moment they just leave us alone, trust me, this agreement will collapse.
Well, thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, will it bring peace? That's what's in the mind of many of our viewers and listeners who actually wrote today and let us know what they thought. But, of course, let's keep some hope alive. That will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. Or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, has been passed, signed, and reauthorized for the next decade. This will ensure that U.S.-African trade and investment will continue to flourish. A joint conference on AGOA opened today in Gabon. Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll have an in-depth discussion on the massive economic venture.
Yes, yes, let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. And good evening, Richard from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yes, good evening, Shaka. How are you, my brother? It's been a while I've called into the show.
I am hugely terrific, Ndugu Richard.
Yes. Now, first of all, I would like to say hello to the two gentlemen in the studios. I have a comment to make here. Though the peace deal has signed the peace deal today, after a constant pressure from world leaders, and Dr. Riek Machar having signed last week, I don't think that this peace will stand. In the next 2 days, in the next couple of days, you'll hear both sides attacking each other. You'll hear both sides exchanging gunfire. Until either Riek Machar takes over power or Salva Kiir brutally finishes off Riek Machar, that's when the people of South Sudan will get peace. But there will be no peace as long as these two gentlemen are still warring. There will not be peace in South Sudan until one of them wins the war. Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome. What about that, Reith?
Thank you very much, Shaka. And I go directly to Richard. Richard is saying, of course, the lack of trust that you have been talking about. But for us, and for the SPLM opposition, and for Dr. Riek Machar, the issue is not about trusting each other. The issue is about people. And when you talk of bringing peace to the people of South Sudan, there will be no issue like, I don't trust you. Because all of the people, if they all leader like Dr. Riek have demonstrated and signed on the 17th, the day that was used by the international community and the IGAD, then that shows you that Dr. Riek is willing. And Shaka, to be sincere with you, in the world you have never seen a rebel movement signing peace before the government. That shows you something that very unique, and it have never been done in Africa. That means that it shows you this man and that movement called SPLM, SPLA, and they are for peace, and they want to bring peace to the people of South Sudan. We have heard people cry. We have heard people die. So it's us to bring peace to South Sudan. So now the government is saying that they don't know
Because if I tell you what I heard today when Salva Kiir was addressing the ceremony, he said that piece is not a Quran or a Bible. And that actually is style of the former president of Sudan, Nimeri, when the Addis Ababa peace agreement was signed in 1972. He said that. And actually that peace did not last long.
It lasted for 10 years,
and then after that, it did not last long. It was not a permanent peace, yeah. And the other issue, Salva Kiir, when he was coming back from Addis Ababa, you have heard what he said. Juba now is a pill of death. Everybody was dying up from the return of Salva Kiir. People are disappearing every day. This is not a sign of peace.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally, Reith. A reminder. Well, I was meant to admit that it was going to be a break, but I guess as a soldier, I have to go back.
Let me just say, I don't agree with Richard. Mm. I think...
Richard has a point, by the way. You know why he has a point? He comes from a country called Uganda.
But
under a president, Yoweri Museveni, who signed a deal with a general Tito Okello Rutwa in 1985. In the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Shaka, this is not fair. You cannot compare Uganda with South
Guess
Sudan.
What happened? Mm. Museveni seized power in Kampala.
Yeah, I know your issues with the Museveni.
No, it has nothing to do with the issues.
This is not about Uganda.
There is a history of peace deals which have been signed and not implemented. That's a fact.
Yes, it brings us back to the issue of trust. And I think that is why trust is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And one of the reasons, one of the things that we have reservations about, it is the way the power sharing at the presidency level mm-hmm. has been set up. It is set up in this document to ensure that there will be a stalemate. Decisions will not be taken in a timely fashion.
Sharing executive power, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. They are core principles.
This will
in the interest of the people of South Sudan, the individual egos of leaders involved.
This will lead to a stalemate. You cannot have a country run by two presidents. There should be only one president, not two.
So do you agree with the people, in fact, who might say that what we just saw really, the signing of this apparent peace deal, can actually be compared with a couple planning a marriage while concentrating on divorce?
Not necessarily. If the will is there from the leaders of the opposition, the government is committed to peace. The government will try its best to implement what it has signed up for. But we hope that the leaders of the opposition will do their part to make sure that this agreement doesn't collapse.
I see. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
Here are more key points of the 72-page South Sudan peace agreement deal that the South Sudanese government signed today to avoid possible international sanctions. The transitional government of national unity begins 90 days after the deal is signed, lasting at least 30 months. Elections must be held 60 days before the end. Polls would be slated for early 2018. At a national level, the government gets 53% of ministerial posts and the opposition 33%, with the remaining seats for other parties. A Commission for Truth, Reconciliation and Healing will be set up to investigate all aspects of human rights violations. A hybrid court established in collaboration with the African Union will try crimes, including possible genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes cases. Anyone indicted cannot be part of the transitional government.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui Uwat, and of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. I guess that we have to go back to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers, and to you, good evening, John, from Tanzania. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much, Shaka.
You're most welcome, John.
Yeah, I just want to say congratulations to some of the presidents in Africa. They are now trying to make a peace with the people that were doing evil things on their country. And I just want to take this moment and tell the president, like President Clunzens, like they have to share that government, not himself, to be on top of the government, you know, so that they can just reduce all bad things in the society. You know, the thing is, it's all about peace. We are now trying to make a peace. So I think it's better if you find, if we find ourselves like you are the source of people that make, you are the source of peace, trouble things. You are the source of trouble. Get out of the government and let the people live by peace. Because without you or with you, the government should be gone and the country should be gone. So I just want to take this chance and tell the people that they think they're in power in the government and they don't want to make a peace, to live it good with people. They have to go out of the government or they have to do the things that society and the people want them
Thank
to
you.
Do.
Thank you, John. I think your point is well made, and in fact, you are referring to Pierre Nkurunziza, the president of the Republic of Burundi. Let's go to Uganda again, and good evening, Sam. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Hello, Sam, are you there? Hello? Hello? Hello, Sam? Well, I'm afraid he's not responding. Let me come back to you. Let me ask you this question. Talk to us a bit about the modalities of sharing power. For example, what specific mechanism are you going to use in order to share key dockets, such as defense, finance?
That's an excellent question, Shaka, and I'm glad you asked this question. Mm-hmm. And that is why we have been saying that time should have been allowed for the negotiating parties to reach a mechanism that will ensure that we will have a speedy implementation and a healthy one,
mm-hmm.
One that will not be, people will not be quarreling. What this document is suggesting is a lottery.
Really?
It's like you have a ball.
I read about it, but I thought
that... That is exactly what is in this document. It is saying, you, Salfakir, put your hand in the ball, select one ministry, and then you, Riek Machar, put your hand in the ball, select one, then you, Pagan, do the same, and then we start the cycle again. This was something strange.
This is the first time I've heard about that.
Yes, and those are some of the reservations that our government is talking about, that this document was not fully thought out. It is true, people were under pressure to bring peace. We understand and we appreciate that. But in so doing, they brought out a document that is so riddled with a lot of devils inside. You know, they say the devil is in the details. Trust me, this document is full of devils inside.
Very interesting. Well, it looks like, of course, the devil seems here to be an equal opportunity employer because he seems to be on both sides of the aisle. As a matter of fact, There are some people who have been saying that President Salva Kiir was not able to sign the peace agreement last week, in their words, not mine, precisely because he is not in effective control of the government.
That's not
in fact, they even talked to the, they have even suggested that a one general, Paul Malong, chief of general staff of SPLA, is opposed to the deal.
No, that's not true. Take it from me. President Salva is the commander in chief of the SPLM-SPLA, of the armed forces, and commander Paul Malongawan, the general chief of his staff, report to President Salva. There is no way he can have a different opinion from what the government does.
What about the Dinka elders?
Dinka elders, you know, by the way, all this now is secondary. Who wanted peace to be signed or not wanted peace to be signed? Because President Salva proved today that he is a man of his word. He said he will sign it, and he signed it. He said he will go back to his people. He in fact, he was given 15 days. But for him to demonstrate his commitment to bring peace sooner rather than later, he came back and signed it within 7 days.
And you know what the Security Council was going to do tomorrow?
No, that is not the reason. You know, let me be honest with you, Shaka. President Salva and the people of South Sudan, our leadership, did not sign this peace agreement because they are afraid of sanctions. Let me be honest with you. They are not afraid of sanctions.
But pressure.
They are not even afraid of embargo.
But
South Sudan have been in a struggle for over 5 decades, like I told you. We are awash with guns. We have enough guns to fight for another 10 or 15 years.
You don't need guns.
Yeah, this is the point.
You need to develop your country.
Exactly. That is why the president agreed to sign. He wanted peace. But the point I'm trying to say is we did not sign it because we are afraid of sanctions.
I guess, just to be a little bit democratic, let's give Ruth a last one.
Thank you very much, Chaka.
No problem.
The issue of lottery that Ambassador Bag is talking about, actually, the government was given a chance to choose as number one.
Mm-hmm.
They have to choose first. And then the SPLM and the SPLM come after. And by the way, that one was used in the CFA in Khartoum. The same style was used.
Really?
And it did not fail.
No,
it's very
failed.
Simple.
It failed.
It delayed the formation of the government for over one month. It give government, now they have to go in first and they take what they need. It will be very fortunate if we were given the pass to go in, then we will enjoy it. But why we accepted it, it's not a big issue.
So it's like football, really.
Yeah,
it's like
and the government should not reject this because they are the one to choose. They will take the good one, and then the other people will come and take the second one, and they will come first again and take the good one. You don't have time to take two. And the other issue with this, you know, why did Salva Kiir not go to Addis Ababa and sign in Addis Ababa? It is because there is an internal threat.
You have 10 seconds.
No. Paul Malong threatened Salva that he will overthrow him if he signed peace.
The chief of the army.
And then that's why Salva requested the IGAD that I will not go to Addis, because if he have gone to Addis, maybe he don't know Paul Malong would have taken over the government.
I like you very much, but unfortunately time happens not to be our best ally. Mm-hmm. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Ambassador Bach Wall, Deputy Head of Mission of the Embassy of the Republic of South Sudan to the United States, and Ruth Nguyen Tung, SPLM in opposition, representative to the United States and former member of the South Sudan Parliament. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, the people of South Sudan. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.